The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
So, look, Sean Payton plays Drew Brees because Drew Brees was good to go. He looked confused by the defense. He didn't look especially mobile. He's 100 years old. He's recovering from 11 fractured ribs and a punctured lung. It's not exactly a wet noodle for an arm, but it ain't exactly a cannon either anymore. Not that it ever really was his calling card. Accuracy is Drew Brees' game, right? But he didn't look great, and they lost to the Chiefs by a field goal, you know, in a game where he didn't have Michael Thomas. I'm telling everyone, forget about yesterday or what you don't like, what you saw from the Saints. The Saints are live to win the Super Bowl. Very. They have a defense that, by the way, that's the crazy thing about the Chiefs. Look, I'm picking the Chiefs to win against the NFL. Not to win as an odds-on favorite. I give them the best chance to win, even though no one's 50-50 against the whole league. I'm saying the Chiefs are my favorites against everyone in the NFL. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think it's better than 50-50 that the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. I'm very confident in the Chiefs. And yet, do the Saints have a shot? Yeah, they do. The Saints' defense, this is the crazy thing about the Chiefs. It looked like it was effective against the Chiefs early on. It was confusing Mahomes a bit. They were playing well, and yet you look up and you go, oh, damn, they're down how much already? Chiefs are tough. Mahomes is so good. Tyreek Hill's impossible. Travis Kelce's impossible. They lose Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the rest of the regular season, it seems, at least. They still have Le'Veon Bell. They'll be able to run. They'll be able to do a lot of stuff. But the reason I say the Saints are still dangerous is they have a really good defense, in fact. You know, what happened against the Eagles notwithstanding, and they just played Kansas City. But for about a month there, they looked like they had the best defense in the NFL. So whether or not it's the best defense in the NFL, and you like the talent on the Bears and the Rams more than the Saints on the defensive side, but the Saints have a good defense. Whether or not you think it's top three even, it's a good defense. It's top half, probably top third of the league on any given Sunday. Brees, a lot of years, didn't have a good defense. Michael Thomas wasn't playing yesterday, but Michael Thomas, if he keeps this up, is going to the Hall of Fame. He's an all-time great receiver in his prime. Didn't have Michael Thomas yesterday. Emmanuel Sanders, for years, Drew Brees didn't have a number two receiver. They signed Emmanuel Sanders, who's still a good number two receiver. And Drew Brees dropped a dime to Sanders down the sideline to get him back in the game. But he's Drew Brees' lead receiver yesterday because Michael Thomas isn't playing. And Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders missed time this year. Sanders had COVID at one point. No, Eddie has Kamara. Let me tell you something. I want to see this Saints team with Drew Brees, not just healthy, but with a couple games under his belt. I want to see the Saints team with a full complement of receivers, including Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, 1 and 2, and Kamara on the field with that defense. That team will be live. Don't get lulled into a false sense of security if you're in the NFC right now. The Saints, hey, they ain't all that. Just wait. And you saw what they could do in the red zone with Taysom Hill. When Taysom Hill's on the field, what's going to happen? You could put him at tight end. You could put him as a fullback, a running back, a wideout. You could run a wildcat. He can just take the snap as an actual quarterback. Just because Taysom Hill's on the field, you don't know what's going to happen. Oh, they're going to try and run it in. Are you sure? Sean Payton after the game, Saints head coach.
Offensively, we didn't start real well, and so it's hard to just point to one position, but I felt like our third down numbers weren't good enough today. I didn't feel like we ran the ball efficiently when we tried. You know, give Kansas City credit. We battled back in the game, but you've got to be better on third down. And when you're not, you don't have those attempts. You don't have the snaps, the time of possession, all the things you need against a good offense like that. You know, we talk about time of possession in a game like this, and that includes converting third down. So overall, offensively, we weren't very sharp.
Looks like the Saints aren't going to have a bye in the first round. Looks like the Saints, if they get that far, will have to travel to the frozen tundra to play the NFC Championship game. Both those things are very bad news for the Saints. Looks like the Saints don't have a quarterback on their roster, and they have three of varying degrees, a future Hall of Famer in Drew Brees, the best gadget player you ever want to see, and if that's all he is, and I think he's more than that, in Taysom Hill, and a former number one overall pick who led the league in yards passing last year in Jameis Winston. But they don't have Aaron Rodgers on the roster, not even if you combine the best attributes of all three of those guys. The Packers have that. And the Packers are going to have a bye likely in the first round. And the Packers are going to host the NFC Championship game if things stand like this. And they probably will, I think. But I would not count out the Saints. I think Drew Brees is so motivated right now. This is it. He's on the best team he's been on, I think, altogether, both sides of the ball, since the Super Bowl team. He's got everything he needs. He knows this is it. He's coming back from injury. So, in fact, in a perverse way, like, he's rested. Remember how he looked worn down at the end of seasons? He's going to warm up now by the playoffs. Saints are live. Meantime, the Bucks have a big rally against the Falcons. But everyone has a big rally against the Falcons. It was capped by Antonio Brown's first touchdown, by the way. Imagine that, what the NFC is thinking. Oh, wait. Excuse me. Oh, that's two. All right, usually they come in threes. This time it's two. That's just what the rest of the league needs for Antonio Brown to get in the, up in the mix, right? 46-yard touchdown reception from Tom Brady with 6:25 remaining. That sealed the comeback win for the Bucs. Well, that and the first down they picked up where it was like, wait, is that a first down? Okay, I guess it is. Not look, yellow line didn't look like it was, but okay, they called it a first down. Game's over. Brady has now seven career comebacks while trailing by 17 or more points, which ties him with Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers for most of NFL history. But here's the thing. Is Tom Brady proving his point? He left Belichick. Belichick's two games under 500. Brady is looking at probably 11 wins this year. Could be 10, probably 11. I don't think it'll be 9. They have the Jets. No way Jets keep this up. But, oh no, they don't have the Jets. Pardon me. They have the Panthers and the Falcons again. At any rate, I'll tell you when Brady will have proved his point. Brady will have proved his point when I see him in the NFC Championship game. When Montana left the Niners and they went with Steve Young, and it's not like he made them trade Steve Young, as Brady made them trade Garoppolo and nothing was the cupboard was bare. When Montana left the Niners, he went to the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs. Brady does that with the Bucks, I stand down. I was wrong, but he hasn't shown me that yet. He won 12 games last year with Belichick. He's at best going to win 11 this year with weapons everywhere you look. Marcus Spears joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Marcus, you there?
What's up, my brother?
What's going on? You tell me. Saints make the right move by starting Brees, yes or no?
Yeah, it was the right decision. I mean, hindsight, the fact that he came out healthy was the most important thing. I mean, the Saints know they're going to the playoffs. They know they're going to need Drew Brees to win a Super Bowl. I think you kill two birds with one stone. You get him in some real live action. You also are able to assess if you can really compete with Kansas City. And I think the Saints walked away from that game getting everything they wanted to get accomplished. Outside of winning the game, obviously, but, you know, just as much as Kansas City didn't have a few offensive linemen, you know, Michael Thomas makes a difference in that game.
Does he ever? Marcus, like, right. when is Drew Brees going to get, and Sean Payton for that matter, they don't seem to catch breaks, right? Like, they had calls go against them in recent playoff performances, but Brees looked old and tired in those games. He got a nice little rest. I mean, he was recovering, but it did mean less wear and tear in terms of NFL wear and tear on his body now heading into the playoffs. But he comes back finally. Their defense, except for last week, has been really good. He has a number two receiver, finally. Everyone's healthy, and then no Michael Thomas. It's like they can't catch a break.
Can't catch a break, but I'll tell you what. I would leave that game against Kansas City with a lot of confidence.
Right.
Because I feel like, you know, Kansas City has obviously lost the game this year. They've had some games that's been close. But we all got the feeling that it was pretty much dominated by Kansas City from the standpoint of, you know, how they won, whether that's last minute, whatever. We always stayed Patrick Mahomes with the ball. I felt like this Saints-Chiefs game was played pretty straight up. Like, it was a pretty good indication of where both of these teams are. Yes, Kansas City is better than the New Orleans Saints right now, and probably better than the New Orleans Saints when everybody is fully healthy. But that doesn't mean the Saints won't have guys that can make plays to change that game.
No, it reminds me of Marcus. In 2007, the undefeated year for the Pats, Tom Coughlin and the Giants wrap up a wild card, right? They're in.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, just rest the guys. But they played New England on the last game of the season. And Coughlin felt it was important to play them straight up. Played all his starters.
Played them straight up.
And they barely lost, but they took that to the Super Bowl with them where they met in a rematch and won as huge underdogs. And there was something about that game. Like, on the one hand, the Chiefs, it looked like the Saints' defense was doing a lot of good things. You look up and the Chiefs have a big lead. You're like, damn. But the fact that Drew Brees, coming back without his number one receiver, was able to claw his way back into that game, I agree. I think the Saints actually made a statement. I haven't read that a lot this morning or this afternoon, but I think they made a statement.
I believe they did. I believe they made a statement without two of the best players on either side of the ball, and right. then you got a 41-year-old quarterback coming back from fractured ribs, and you lose to Kansas City by three. And you held Kansas City to 14 in the first half. So when you look at this defense, when you look at what you would expect Drew to be able to do once he gets his feet under him and gets fully back, and Michael Thomas is healthy coming into the playoffs, like, I don't know if anybody is as scary as the Saints are. I know what Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay are doing offensively. Defensively, they had a good showing against Carolina, but
they're live. Yeah,
Saints ain't Carolina. Like,
yeah, look, Green Bay is live, but so are the Saints. Marcus Spears on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Marcus, let me ask you something. What would you say about a teammate, a quarterback, who everyone's making apologies for? Oh, he doesn't have an offensive line. He doesn't have receivers. He can't move the ball. That's why he's turning the ball over. That's why he's sacked so much. That's why he's the most turnover-worthy plays in the league, even though he hasn't played in nine quarters. What would you say about a guy like that, his character, as a leader, as a teammate, when someone else who was in the quarterback room finally gets to start, scores a major upset over those Saints, who were playing the hottest defense in the league, with his legs, comes back the next week, everything goes wrong for Jalen Hurts, early in the game, intentional grounding in the end zone, a safety, a blocked punt. You look up at 16-0, they're down, but he's accurate all game, gets them back into the game. You never hear Jalen Hurts say anything bad about anyone, leak anything. He waited patiently. What would you say about a guy who decides to leak, it seems to me, on the day of Jalen Hurts' second start? If I don't get to be a starter, I don't want to play anymore in this set. What would you say about a guy like that if he was your teammate?
He's not built the right way, and I'm not going to follow him. Like, let's be honest, man. Like, this is not rocket science, Max. Like, a lot of people are going to point to the fact that, you know, it's just about football. It's not. I mean, I've understood your point of that argument from the beginning. I hadn't always agreed that Carson Wentz was done and he didn't have a talent. But I definitely agreed that this locker room responded to Nick Foles better. And now it seems they responding to Jalen Hurts better. Now, a lot of that is potentially newness. But in this particular situation, you can't say that because they did it for Nick Foles twice.
Twice.
It happened twice from another quarterback. So there is something, obviously, that is a tremendous disconnect for Carson Wentz as far as guys showing the type of performance that they've been showing since Jalen has been inserted into the lineup. And then, too, like, Max, you can't be soft playing quarterback, bro. Like, you can't be soft mentally. Like, that's a hard job. So the whole idea of, you know, I don't like where I am. You made your bed. You created this. Like, there would be no Jalen Hurts if you played like Jalen Hurts is playing right now.
Yep.
We wouldn't be having this conversation. So, look, man, you know me. Boil it down to the simplest form. Carson Wentz didn't perform. Carson Wentz has a disconnect with the players in that locker room. Based off enough of a sample size between Nick Foles and Jalen Hurts, and a lot of the problems that you saw with the Philadelphia Eagles fell directly on Carson Wentz.
Plus, now, Marcus, where does homeboy
other things.
Marcus, where's homeboy think he's going? Who's going to take that contract? You know what's going to happen now, messed up? The Eagles are going to have to spend enormous draft capital to get someone to take that contract because Wentz can't stay there. This is untenable. He's going to get his money, But he can't stay there. He doesn't want to stay there. You can't start him. He's unplayable right now. Hurts is showing you stuff. This is a nightmare for the Eagles, which makes me happy as a Giants fan, of course. But let me.
Yeah, it's a nightmare because it's a nightmare because you committed $100-some million. Like,
right.
This is, you know, so this is a part of that whole.
It's a good segue, Marcus.
You pay for what. Number one, you're paying for what you think a guy is going to be, based off of either highlights or lowlights.
Yeah.
And then when he turns out to be regular, like Carson Wentz, and when he turns out to be regular, like Jared Goff, it makes it more difficult for teams to try to show.
You said the name, Jared Goff. That's what I wanted to get to. The Cowboys tried to pay Dak Prescott. He didn't want the money, and now he's hurt, right? The Rams did pay Jared Goff. Marcus, I'm looking at the Los Angeles Rams. They lose to the Niners. It's a divisional game, but the Niners are without their quarterback. They're the worst team in the division right now, and they're eliminated from the playoffs. They were on a hot streak. The Rams were beating good teams, looking really good. They lose to the Niners. Then they get their mojo back, right? And they lose to the New York Jets? Marcus, the Jets? I had a caller earlier say, I'm not even mad at the Jets, who was a Jets fan in New York. I'm mad at the Rams. How do you lose to this team? We're trying to get the number one because the Jets got to compete. But how do you lose to them? And Marcus, I look at this team. I like McVay a lot. I think you got the right coach. The talent on the defensive side is there. You have offensive weapons. I'm looking at Jared Goff. He's paid like an elite quarterback, and he doesn't make the same mistakes that Wentz does. But, dude, he's like average. Hey, is Goff better than average, Marcus?
I don't trust Jared Goff at all. I said that weeks ago. Like, if a game has to be determined by Jared Goff being, like, lifting his level of play and lifting the level of play of people around him in spite of coaching, in spite of what the tough situation is, I don't believe in Jared Goff in that regard. I think he can play when it's cozy and comfortable, when all of the plays are working, when Sean McVay is dialing people up wide open. I don't question his arm talent. I don't question that sometimes we've seen flashes of him having the ability to be a franchise QB. But there is nobody – well, I'm not going to say that. With myself, I don't trust Jared Goff to win no championship. I don't trust that if things go awry. Like, 3 points in the Super Bowl was an indication.
Yep.
Like, missing a deep pass down the middle of the field that was a touchdown is reminiscent of another guy that I don't trust, Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, these guys have to be
I trust Garoppolo a little.
I don't. That dude wins, perfect.
Marcus. He wins everywhere. Come on. His one-loss record is ridiculous. That can't be an accident. Hey. But I agree. His talent is not pitched as high as some guys. See, that's the thing to me, Marcus. Goff, I look at Goff. I see talent, but I only see average results. You know what I'm saying? With Garoppolo, I don't see Goff's talent, but I see better results.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it has to do with how good these coaches are. Like, even Jared Goff can justify, right? They 9-4. Sean McVay is the coach. I'm not terrible. I'm not doing anything above and beyond. But the expectation for you, for us, the way we look at it when we're talking about you, is to do that, is to be the starting quarterback for a playoff team that say, it's no way in hell I'm going to allow us to lose to the Jets. Like, the fact that Jared Goff couldn't do that, it's more of an indictment on what he's done than all of the successful stuff. Like, you got arguably the best defense in the league. You got arguably two guys, ball after catch, or the most dynamic in Woods and Cooper Kupp. You have a backfield of guys that can run the football. Your offensive line may be, because Whitworth is out, may be a little changed, but your offensive line is really good. Like, Jared Goff, if he raised his level of play, if he was playing like a $100 million quarterback, we wouldn't have a conversation about if the Rams can win the Super Bowl or if they could do it. But nobody trusts Jared Goff. That's why we don't know what to say about the Los Angeles Rams at this point. Outside of the fact that they're a good team, but when it comes to them relying on their quarterback to do anything above and beyond extraordinary, nobody trusts them to do that.
Well, we know what to say about Marcus Spears. You can check him out on NFL Live. It's an excellent program, and Marcus is excellent on it. Brought to you by Shell. This show, Marcus Spears Just Now, not that show, this one, is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Is Trubisky We talk about all the Carson Wentz handling things the wrong way. How about the way Trubisky handled his benching? Is he finally the quarterback the Bears wanted him to be?
Max, the podcast.
Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bears take on the Jags this week. Then Green Bay, week 17, although Packers may not need to play their starters by then. I got to say something. I love stories like this. Trubisky, I left for dead, right? He wasn't accurate enough down the field, just not good enough. And when they took him out and benched him in favor of Foles when they had a good record, it was like, oh, it's very early in the season, but Trubisky still wasn't that good. And obviously, famously, Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were both available in that draft, and Trubisky was drafted ahead of both those guys, the best quarterback in football and probably the second best quarterback in the AFC, and Trubisky is not that. Trubisky is like, recently he's been playing like an NFL average starter. That's not a bad thing to have. He's not like all world, but NFL average starter at quarterback is not bad. And I love this story right now because Trubisky got benched and maybe didn't even deserve it, right? For a guy who wound up playing worse than he did. Did he complain one time? This dude didn't complain one time. Take that in contrast to Carson Wentz. Trubisky's number one attribute by far is his speed of foot. He's fast. You could see when he turned pro. This dude can outrun linebackers. But he couldn't throw the ball accurately down the field. Wentz, it seemed, could do everything, right? Anyone want Wentz? You can have him. No one wants him. He ain't going to start anymore. But Trubisky? Look what Wentz did. Oh, if I don't get to start, I don't want to be here. And he leaks this, it seems to me. Because the information came out somehow. It wasn't in the Eagles' best interest to put it out there. Devalue him even more, right? He has all this money on his contract. How are you going to get someone to take him? He does that the day of Jalen Hurts' second start when he looked so good in his first start. And by the way, looked good in his second start again. No. Carson Wentz showing that lack of maturity and that lack of leadership is showing you part of what contributed to his downfall. What's Mitch Trubisky showing you? Mitch Trubisky took his benching like a straight up pro. It's not that he's not competitive. He is competitive. It's that he's a team first guy. The idea that you need that to be a quarterback and lead, you can't be team first. No. Well, you should be. He took his benching like a man. He came back better for it. And look at him now. Got the Bears. They're not eliminated yet. Tony in Los Angeles. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how's it going? I just wanted to know if you think if Tua and the no-name defense for the Dolphins are still your AFC sleeper pick to go to the Super Bowl, and if you think they're legit and if they're a real team.
As a sleeper, yes. I wouldn't pick them, and now you're starting to see why, right? But I mean, like, no one was picking them. That's why they were my sleeper pick. But I think the number one correlated factor with a successful franchise is the coach. Do you believe Brian Flores off the Belichick coaching tree is a real coach that you would want? I say yes, for obvious reasons. Taking the Dolphins from where they were last year to now. And do you believe Tua can be a franchise quarterback? I think yeah, too. I also think yes. He's coming off catastrophic injury. He's still very young. So, like, do I think they have a coach-quarterback combination you have to contend with in Miami? Yes, I do. And you brought up the defense. They get after it. So a coach quarterback combination that's already pretty good with a chance to get better and a real defense. If the Dolphins don't have a top-tier defense, and I think they do. I think I would include the Dolphins in a top-tier defense. It's right underneath that. But I think I would call it a top-tier defense. Can that team be a sleeper? Absolutely. Now, what's the most likely scenario? Maybe the Dolphins win a playoff game. I think they can win a playoff game. But I wouldn't move them off my sleeper in the AFC. I mean, the Bills are not a sleeper at this point, right? Pats are eliminated. Who's a sleeper in the AFC? The Colts or the Titans, they have double-digit wins. They're going to win double-digit wins. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Richard. Richard said, what's up, I think, and then hung up. He wanted to talk about the Giants.
See, that's how Giants fans are right now. That's all they got, Max. A couple laughs.
I got to tell you something. I was so disappointed in the Giants' performance. And the fact is, they don't have the talent on the offense. But I brought this up in the recent past. How long do we have to wait for Gettleman's master plan to bear some fruit? Is it next year? Is it in year three, year four, where the Giants could maybe be 500? Dude, it doesn't take that long. I love Saquon Barkley, who's hurt right now. He was drafted number two overall. You're not supposed to do that. They've never truly made the offensive line something to contend with. They've made it competent. There's not a lot of talent on the offense, period. And Daniel Jones, when healthy, is trending in the right direction and is maybe a tick below average. And maybe next year he could be a tick above average. I got to wait 3-4 years for this?
Max, the podcast.
The Monday Night Football Preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Steelers versus Bengals. Steelers still chasing the Chiefs, technically, for the number one AFC seed. It ain't going to happen. But remember, everyone is very low on the Steelers right now. I say buy Steelers. The stock is undervalued. Right now it is. Do not forget, they played 3 games in 13 days. They were on short rest again versus the Bills. That was their 4th game in 19 days. You're supposed to get 28 days. So they more than doubled up. As though you played 2 games in a week and then had a short week. 19 days, 4 games. After that three game, 13-day stretch, short week against one of the best teams in the league. They're being undersold right now. The real test for the Steelers will, of course, be against the Browns last game of the season. And the same with the Browns. Before you believe in the Browns, I love what I'm seeing from Baker recently, but before you believe in them, can you beat either the Ravens or the Steelers once this season? They're trending in the right direction, the Browns, even playing the Ravens tough last game. And if they end the season by beating the Steelers, you start to believe in that team. And the Steelers need a quality win before the end of the year. Of course they're going to beat the Bengals. But it's the following week. It's last week of the season. What are the Steelers going to do against the Browns? Of course they're going to beat the Bengals. If the Steelers fall into a trap against the Bengals, I'm done with them. You throw up your hands at a certain point. The Bengals don't have a quarterback right now. They have a great one when he comes back, but they don't have a quarterback right now. And the Steelers have a great defense and a quarterback who can still get it done in Roethlisberger. Steelers can't run the ball, but those quick passes from Roethlisberger sort of simulate a run game. Kind of like, remember what Chip Kelly was doing when he was in Philly? Short little quick passes that kind of simulate a run, and then you take those shots down the field, minus maybe some of the shots down the field. That's what the Steelers are doing to control clock. And they're going to be too much for the Cincinnati Bengals. Brought to you by Progressive Insurance, cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
How many takes do you want from me? I've been giving takes all day on First Take, on the Max Kellerman Show. I'll tell you what, Tyrone in Philadelphia, you give me a take, ESPN Radio. Tyrone.
Hey, I was just wondering, Max, the Jets lost their first pick, whatever, but is it really worth it? I mean, wouldn't it be the same thing for Lawrence as it is for Darnold?
No, this is my point about the Jets. I see what you're saying. In other words, once you go to the Jets, they'll ruin you, right? Darnold was a good prospect. I'd say he was a B-plus prospect. Lawrence is an A-plus prospect. Lawrence is one of those talents where you go, and maybe Justin Fields is too. Let's see if that's what they wind up with. But the Jets need a foolproof quarterback. There are very few of them. But Lawrence looks like maybe he'd be one of them because he's going to an organization of fools. So you need a foolproof quarterback. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. These guys were going to be great wherever they went. The level of their greatness may have changed based on coaching and situation, but intrinsically, they were great. Most quarterbacks don't. Baker Mayfield needs the right situation. Patrick Mahomes benefits from the right situation, but it don't matter what his situation's going to be. You can't ruin Mahomes. That's who Trevor Lawrence looks to be. maybe that's who Fields is. It's not Bradford. Bradford's nice, but he's not one of those guys. Matt in Illinois, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Matt in Illinois, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Let's try that again.
Yeah, Max, you got me. I fell trapped to your shock jock opinions. I got to come to the defense of Foles and Wentz.
Go ahead.
For Wentz, he's had 10 different offensive line combinations, and since 19, they've had 12 starting receivers, which leads the league. He's, like you said, a B-plus quarterback, but not an A-plus. When you give him a clean pocket with solid line from and consistent weapons, where he can develop consistency, he showed he can be an MVP-type quarterback.
Dude, no, look, I was arguing Wentz over Brady in 2017. He was the best quarterback in the league on the money down, on third down. He has regressed so bad, and I've seen it the whole way. Little by little regression. Still capable of making a miracle play a game, but you cannot talk about offensive line combinations when Jalen Hurts comes into the same situation and they catch fire. They beat the Saints, and they very nearly came back yesterday. So why is that? Why does it work for Hurts but not Wentz? Why are they 5-6? Foles comes in, they catch fire, they make the playoffs, but not Wentz. Why, when McCown comes in, do they basically perform the same as with Wentz? Matt in Illinois, why would that be if I'm wrong about Carson Wentz?
I'm trying to ask, because without an offensive line, you need a quarterback more mobility to escape the pocket and escape the pressure, and that's not Wentz. Wentz is a pocket passer. Like,
what? That doesn't
like
explain
Brady.
Foles, dude. Like, I'm saying, why did it happen with Foles too?
Foles was the same thing. He beat Brady head-to-head in the Super Bowl, won the MVP. Then when he goes to Jacksonville, breaks his collarbone the first 10 minutes of the first quarter.
No, we're talking about, let's stay with the Eagles. Again. Matt, I like this call, but we're going to have to go in a second. Stay with the Eagles. Foles improved, the team improved with Foles, the team improved with Hurts. Mobile quarterbacks doesn't mean you don't get sacked. Look at Randall Cunningham, got sacked 72 times one season with the Eagles. Wentz ain't good. NBA regular season starts tomorrow. Max Kellerman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.